guess it's live now.
Dude, the countdown actually worked this time.
You didn't count along with it either.
I know, because last time I looked so dumb.
I wouldn't call it dumb so much as, I guess, I don't know.
Dumb. Yeah. It'd be dumb. Yeah.
So.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We're back live. Sort of. Live to you.
There was an incident. There was an incident. It was called my internet.
You know what? What's great is we've now reached a stage where we've got like lost episodes.
That's true. So you know what kills me about this, and maybe we can open up with this subject, is the fact that we live in the United States of America, and there is places where you cannot get good internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get better internet in like Europe.
My phone worked so well in Nigeria that I was actually using it as internet as opposed to the infrastructure of like the area, which says something about something, but I don't know what it says.
No, you know, what's interesting is I got married in 2019, right before December 2019, right? And let's all talk about the fact that my parents, they were like, why would you get married in the winter in DC? They're from California. And I'm like, because this is what we're planning on doing. Why don't you wait till spring? Well, joke's on you, because my witch senses were right and we had a pandemic. Let me just say that. My bruja. So anyway, long story short, we were supposed to hike Machu Picchu, which me hiking up the hill would have been epic. But I was actually training for it. And then COVID happened. And so we decided to drive cross country and just like have camp and, you know, be outdoorsy. And there was large parts of our nation that I got zero cell service.
Who's your carrier? Let's just, you know what? We're just going to make some carrier out there feel really bad about their
Verizon. Phone. It was Verizon. But it wasn't just Verizon, because I also had Alex has an AT&T phone, because my husband, because I don't believe in being on each other's. I don't know why. It's really weird now that I said it out loud. And he didn't have service either. It's baffling that we live in a country that there's no. Also, I also think it's baffling that we allow people just not to have internet. I don't know if you saw that news clip from when the pandemic first started, but it was kids trying to do their homework outside Taco Bell and using the free internet at Taco Bell because they didn't have internet. And it's actually in the town I went to high school in, which is crazy. But it's just, yeah.
We've somehow found our way into my one of my soapbox wheelhouses, and that's availability of resources. And also somehow like dovetails with my let's save the post offices. And I know we're going to go right deep into the weeds, and we lost like half of our audience. So like four people just logged off. But
well, also it also dovetails into another soapbox that you have, which is people who don't order things that are on menus. Right. And that's Taco Bell.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're coming back to that one, because the wonderful wild whites of West Virginia or something like that. I watched it. We'll get there. But you know, the post office is like running out of money rapidly. They're the only government institution that like for some reason is required to turn a profit. But they offered a few years back to turn themselves into like the rural area like bank and internet provider. And Congress was like, that's too much like helping people. So we don't want to do that.
Really? But,
like, they were going to be that for all of these places where there's a post office and nothing else. And they were going to be like, hey, we're your bank and we're your internet provider. And we get, you know, all these services.
It almost seems too good to be true.
Well, it was how they were going to make money. They were going to offer low cost resources to people. And they were told, no, like you can't do that because you're a quasi government agency.
But libraries do that all the time.
Right. But they're required to turn a profit. So like either I am or I aren't, but you can't am or I aren't.
That's not correct.
Let's just move past it.
But I'm really not sure how to say it correctly. So we're going to pretend you either are or you aren't.
Look,
you either
I
are
feel like
or you aren't.
As an adult, you're allowed to make up one word a year. And last year's was requestively. Yeah, that's
I don't have one yet. There is a word that Alex, one day in my text messages, I never read them before I send them, and I'm always like this. And I think it was like Stromboli or something. It was something like out of, it was supposed to be strengthening.
Well, you've been victim to my voice to text.
Okay, me too.
I'm a huge fan of voice to text, including the fact that it's probably not right when I hit send. I don't care. You're going to get it. And if you
do, you know that Microsoft Office, I write all my emails now that way.
What do you mean?
Meaning there's voice audio now dictation for all Outlook emails.
I do that for something. There's some website. I can't. Oh, it's a.
It's built in now, though.
To anybody who like doesn't want to hear cursing, I apologize. But there's a website called Reach It Faster. And you can literally just copy one page and drop it in there. And it literally does what it says. It helps you read it faster. So that's what I do. Yeah. It's like reading captions really fast. I'm a caption person too.
I only watch stuff with captions. That's also because I'm like partially deaf, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, it was the partially deaf when I was on board, and then you said I'm pretty sure, and it's like, wait a minute. Shouldn't you check on that?
I really am. No, I had a lifeguarding accident when I was young, and
wait, people trusted you to watch children?
Oh yeah, dude, I was a full-time nanny in college.
There's so much to unpack there. There's so much to unpack. I mean, I'm 99% positive you love your child and will take care of it at all times. Okay, let's don't make that face on camera when people can see you.
Oh, that's right. I forget that this goes live on video right. Too.
But like other people's children, I'm pretty sure you're disdainful of. So how did you end up as a nanny?
No, I was a great nanny. You know why? Because I worked with a school in Stockton, which is like literally the armpit of California.
I only know about Stockton from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, Stockton's a pit. Like, it's really bad. It's super dangerous, too. I'm not sure how I survived. But that's not the point of the story. So I was a nanny, and like, it was hot. It's always hot there. So like, all I did was like take the kids to the pool, and I was a lifeguard. So it was like two birds, one stone. And I got to work on my tan, and I got to like, I could sit in the pool, like not even lay out and like tan. But like I could be in the pool swimming 24 hours a day. I love to swim. I love water. I love swimming. It's my happy place.
All I got from that story is Morgan was not an amazing babysitter so much as Morgan found a way to dovetail it with the things that Morgan liked.
Well, that me a million times.
Your children are only safe because they fit into husband. Morgan's worldview.
Because of my husband.
Anyway. I don't even know where we started, but let's go
okay,
to...
Okay, so we talked about the post office.
Right.
We're upset about that. The second thing...
The wonderful whites of West Virginia. The wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia. So I watched it.
Tell me what you thought. Tell me everything.
First of all, we've already spent an entire section of a podcast denigrating the state of West Virginia. Let's just go ahead and lock in and do it again, because West Virginia looks like a hellhole and I don't ever want to live there for an extended period of time. You're too accepting of people that come down from the mountains and wreck hell upon your towns. They can't be called neighborhood. They're towns. The coal company actively looks like they're trying to kill everyone in West Virginia. And somehow West Virginians are also really cool about it.
Yeah, because they sing like the coal miner daughter song, which is not clearly like sung, but they sing it in that movie. Like they're proud of it.
The coal companies are trying to kill us, but I got to go into the mines. Wait, what? They're really in love with their meth. I mean, they love the meth more than black people are stereotypically supposed to love chicken. There, yeah.
I don't know about that, but I love chicken and I love chicken wings. So
who doesn't love chicken? Like, honestly, who?
My mom.
Your mom doesn't love chicken?
My mom, yeah, but that's also because she likes chicken wings, but my father is the cook of the family, which is kind of backwards. And I think my dad went through a phase of only cooking chicken for a while. And so I think that was where it went down.
You know, there's a chicken wing shortage in America, right?
My dad actually just reminded me of that. I got a phone call of him. He was very upset. And he had said that he had went to the local grocery store in California, in where they live, and went to get chicken wings, and there was none. He was very, very upset about that. And so then he drove, he called ahead of time to like the little bougie, you know, whole, like, it's like a small town Whole Foods called Staff of Life, which even is, yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's run by a cult, but that's not the point of the story.
If I had to guess. Like,
yeah, and he's like, yo, do you have chicken wings? And they're like, yeah, come on over. And he drove over and there was none left. And he threw a fit. And then he's like, and then they wanted me to buy their bougie-ass chicken for $15. And I said, screw you. I drove, so he drove back to like the cheap market just to buy a chicken and then cut it up himself. He was really upset about it.
I've never been a chicken wing person. Called me. I'm not a chicken wing person. I know that that seems like anti-American, but it seems like a colossal waste of my time to eat this chicken wing. I'd prefer you just hand me like the thighs. Give me the dark meat. I don't want the chicken breast either. Just you give me a pack of thighs, I'm good. When I go to KFC,
yeah, I'm just quiet.
Like honestly, I like KFC more than like Popeyes or any of the other places.
Oh my god, I just went to Popeyes for the first time. That place is legit.
Wait, you've never been to a Popeyes?
I don't think they have them in California. So background for anyone and for you. My mom and dad, but my mom especially, is super hippie and not like her like worldviews, but when it comes to like eating things, like when I was a kid, they ground up my own food and wouldn't let me eat anything else. And so we didn't have fast food, and I don't think I ever had soda. Like it was really strict. So when we did get fast food, it was like In-N-Out Burger or something like burgers usually. So I never had Popeyes. I don't even think we have them. So Alex was like, hey, and then we moved to DC. I live in DC, and DC is like, there's Popeyes, but not where, like you actually have to drive to them. And so when I moved to the burbs, one of the first things I did was like, let's cut this Popeyes chicken thing. And it was legit.
I will admit the sandwich is good. The Popeyes sandwich, not good enough to like wait in line for. You guys got to settle down. But it was definitely worth
eating. I don't like Chick-fil-A though.
I don't like Chick-fil-A either. And it's not for like
it's overpriced and
I think Chick-fil-A has done one of the most amazing things in the world. They pissed off all of the gays and then course corrected and pissed it off with all the Christians. Like, that's working hard.
The other thing they did is they have figured out how to really make lines move fast. I feel as if Chick-fil-A was in charge of ensuring everyone got vaccines, it would have moved a lot faster.
I love that all of the kids there have to say nice things to me. Like, it's just... Sometimes
I didn't know that.
Oh, they have to. They have to. And sometimes I'll just be a little bit difficult. Not like super like difficult.
So rude.
But just a little bit difficult. Like, hey, could you only give me like a quarter cup of ice? I'm sorry, that's just a little too much ice for me. Just because they have to smile and be nice to you. It's like when I go to Cold Stone.
Is that because it's like they're Christian, like
I guess. I don't know. It's like some corporate thing where they just have to be super nice to you.
That's how In-N-Out Burger is. They pretty much will do anything you ask.
I've never been to In-N-Out.
Oh my
God. And I just recently saw my first White Castle in like...
I've never been to White Castle.
So I've only seen it in 7-Eleven in the frozen thing. And if that's what White Castle tastes like, then I'm good. I don't need that. But I saw White Castle. I took my first like extended trip to New York and there was a giant White Castle outside of a lounge. And we almost ate there, but there was full of people. And I'm like,
you know what was crazy to me? So this is going to like, this is bringing out my white side, which you know, have you ever heard of, I'm sure you have, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
So I grew up on hearing that. And he has a song called Jack and Diane and they talk about the Tasty Freeze. And I always thought he made it up, but did you know Tasty Freeze is real?
Yep.
I saw one. Out in like actually driving to West Virginia to go for a hike, and I was like, "We're stopping."
I'm never going to West Virginia, particularly now after this conversation.
Okay, so I want to talk about my reenactment of my favorite scene.
Completely accurate.
Accurate. Did you think I was overreacting? So you thought probably I was overacting.
I did, but I also you undersold how much of like a cold, dark individual you have to be to like. Wave at somebody through a window and then point behind you and yeah, it took her baby.
Yes. CPS took her baby.
I mean.
Do you have tequila? Do you have siestas?
Okay, first of all, ordering something that's not on the menu in general is just a dick move. But going to a fast food place and yelling it into a drive-through like speaker and asking for things that aren't on the menu, there's a special place in hell for you.
Well, also, fiestas are not even on any menu. No. I don't even know what a fiesta is.
I think she meant fajitas.
Oh, that's probably true. I never thought about that.
But clearly not on the menu. Clearly not there.
Well, then she asked for mozzarella cheese sticks.
Yeah. So, first of all, you're at a Taco Bell asking for fajitas. Settle down. Everyone knows that's not on the Taco Bell. I don't even eat Mexican food. And I know that that's not on the Taco Bell menu. Secondly, what part of Mexico do mozzarella sticks come from? You got to settle down. I know the meth has told you that this is the question you need to ask at this exact moment. But the meth is not your friend.
Also, I mean, I do think that we should think about in, you know, moving the Wild and Wonderful Whites of Western Virginia into school curriculums of don't do drugs. You know, when we were kids, when they had like, this is your brain on drugs, and they like cracked the egg. All you got to do is watch that movie.
This is like, I've never seen so many people so excited about doing meth. Like they were really locked
well,
in.
Also, how about when they like shook a canister of pills and they're like, Boone County mating call.
Right. Or like, I picked up these pills and I paid 20 and I'm going to go down the street and sell them for 30. And all I could think was, that's not good economics because you're only making $10. There's nowhere else you could go to sell these pills for more money. What are you going to do with
$10? $10 is a lot to them, I think.
And their whole like family ethos and pride was built around a hillbilly dancing on a table.
Okay, so I want to talk about this because I actually find this very interesting. There is a hillbilly, and he was called like the hillbilly Texas dancer, or what was it? Something crazy.
I don't know. I'm not gonna lie to you. The moment I saw it, my brain said, "Man, that's one of the whitest things I've ever seen."
Know that like tap dancing with boots on was a thing.
Apparently it's not just it's a really thing, white. It's a thing they really love and celebrate.
Yeah. You know, it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening and also like really sad that this is
that was America. The high point of their lives. That was like that was the we've made it moment.
Yes, it was.
Pappy is known two hollers over for dancing on tables.
And that the fact that like they're like they talk about the famous shoes, I guess, that they dance on.
He inherited my father's shoes.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like,
I gotta tell you, if my dad left me shoes in his will and that was it, I'm digging him up. I'm digging him up and I'm putting those shoes in there with him. You can send this back down now.
So, yeah, I do recommend everyone watch it. I would love to hear the listeners that we do have be like, I want to hear. Like,
well, we lost four of them a minute ago. So
I know we did.
The four that are left, please listen to.
Yeah, I would love them to watch it and then tweet me at Morgan Al Martinez and see. I want to hear what they think because it's even if they only watch the first like 10 minutes of it, that's enough. That and the epic Taco Bell scene. I do feel as if everyone needs to watch the Taco Bell.
And it wasn't all bad. I mean, there were parts of it where like...
I think it's a great movie.
No, I really enjoyed it. But like, we're making these people sound like monsters. And they weren't all monsters.
Oh.
One of them got out and moved to Minneapolis. And
that's right. And had like a real family.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Really was like, we're never moving back to West Virginia. And that's how I felt too. Like, I'm never going to West Virginia.
I've hiked a lot in West Virginia, and it's actually kind of nice when you hike it, but you don't see people.
I've been to Harper's Ferry. That's it.
Oh, yeah, I have.
And I've done the whitewater rafting thing straight down into West Virginia.
Me too.
In which your bus picks you up, and I think one of the guys might have said under his breath, no, you got to get out of here. You're floating too close. You got to come back. That may or may not have happened. That may or may not have happened. Is there another movie that you can add to my life that's going to like open new horizons?
Oh, Probably not. That's my
that's true.
That's my one pick of the year, maybe even the century. It, like, literally, I recommend it to anyone I talk to, every single person. Like, it's amazing. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Let me see. You know, movies, I
got one for you. I watched 12 O'Clock Boys the other night. It's it's about Baltimore, which is, well, I don't want to live in Baltimore. I went to college outside.
I still haven't seen The Wire.
Well, one of them just passed away.
I know. Suicide, right? I think it was really sad.
I'm not sure. You know, I stopped looking into it because I was like, you know what? I don't want to know.
It's really sad.
But 12 O'Clock Boys is about this bike culture, like dirt bike culture in Baltimore. All the young people want to get bikes. And 12 O'Clock is, you know, when you do the wheelie, if you imagine the clock, the closer you can get to 12 O'Clock, the better your wheelie is. So yeah, they're 12 O'Clock Boys. And it's really, really interesting. It was really interesting. I normally would tell people, if you're going to watch 12 O'Clock Boys, it's really good. Watch it with the captions on because it is very Baltimore and not like the Baltimore.
Hard to understand.
And then there's another movie that came out last year called Charm City Kings with Meek Mill. And it's also about this bike culture in Baltimore, but when watched together, it tells a very good narrative.
Where can we watch 12 O'Clock Boys?
12 O'Clock Boys, you might be able to find it on Amazon Prime.
I was going to say, it sounds like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's not new. I think it was like 2014, 2016, something like that. So it's got some years on it. But Charm City Kings is HBO Max.
So I do have one for you. Because, see, you're talking about kind of the culture. So I grew up in a beach town. A very, very beach little town. My dad calls it a hot dog town because you either sell hot dogs, you know, like there's not really any careers there other than tourism. But have you ever watched Lords of the Dogtown?
I have heard of it. Didn't they turn it into a movie too?
Yeah, it's a movie. So it's
There's a
documentary and a movie, which are both very good. It's about how skateboarding started, like extreme skateboarding, like Tony Hawk skateboarding before Tony Hawk, right? And even how they made the wheels in order to have it stick. And I actually really liked the movie. The documentary is quite good, but the movie actually was very, very well done. And it like defines like the city that it's supposed to be in Venice, but I didn't grow up in Venice, but it is a lot of that kind of dirty / surfer feel is like where I grew up.
Did you just call surfers dirty?
No, yes, but like,
please give everybody your username again.
No, not dirty. It's grungy. It's like a grunge. Dirty is the wrong word. It's grunge. And I stand by that statement for sure.
Okay.
I grew up there. It's like, it is cringy. It's like, anyway, that's not the point of the story. Why am I even going into this? Anywho, Lords of Dogtown. You should see, I'll watch your 12 O'Clock Boys and F you Lords of the Dogtown.
Lords of Dogtown. Got it.
Watch the movie, not the documentary. You can find that, I believe, on Netflix. That's one of my favorites too. And like, okay, I'll tell you how into it, like my little beach town was. I remember my brother and I went to go see it and I took him. He was like, I think he was in junior high at the time. I must have been in high school. And like, we went to like the local movie theater or the small one, because like it wasn't big enough to be on like the big, big ones, but Santa Cruz, where I grew up, like brought them in there and brought it there. And like, people were like cheering, like when it said like locals only. And like, yeah, like it's just a thing. It like defines my childhood.
I'll give it a shot. Where can I? It's probably.
I think everywhere. Amazon Prime. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
I don't know about you, but like my Amazon Prime subscription is only around because like every so often someone will say there's a movie, and then that obscure movie will be there for me to watch it, and then I go back to forgetting that it exists.
Oh, I use Amazon. Well, I mean for movies like that, but then I use it daily to buy like, I don't know, toilet paper. I actually don't need that daily because I actually bought a Tushy, which we could see if maybe Tushy would come in and pay for this. But yes, I bought a Tushy. Oh, it's a freaking bidet that you like put onto your toilet.
I gotta tell you, I've stayed in hotels where they have the bidet, and I tried it once, and like the squirting on my butt is just weird. And I don't want it to happen again. Because then there's that awkward moment of like, do I wipe it with toilet paper? Because that's not going to really be effective. And if I do it with like one of the towels that they leave there, like, what if I didn't bidet properly and now I've got this towel and the maid's going to judge me the next morning?
She won't. Especially if you're like in Nigeria, they won't know. Because that's what you're supposed to do is use the towel. Now, being serious, they're not going to judge you. That's what you're supposed to do is use the towel.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's my upbringing, but if I was a maid and I came in and the towels were like a little bit, first of all, it's a setup that they give you white towels.
I do too. Like, well, so in my house,
sweating all day.
We use toilet paper or we shake it like a shelf.
Okay. I didn't realize that was an option. I feel like if I shook it like a salt shaker, then I would really just be like, I'd feel weird walk. Cause like there's that breeze that just always happens. Like when you're wet, so you're inside and there's no air anywhere. The AC is all, and suddenly a breeze just makes your ass feel like it's like too cold.
It's a little tingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
I'm
done with bidets.
Oh, I like the tushy.
Also the weird like showers. Okay. I don't know about you, but we've traveled. We've been places.
Yeah, we've been places.
I stayed in a hotel once that had a toilet. So I was happy about that because not always, you don't always just know that there's going to be a toilet.
Sometimes it's questionable.
But there was no seat. It was literally just toilet. And then right above the toilet was a shower. And no. I'm looking at it.
Where
like,
were you?
I don't want to say because it was a place on another continent.
Oh, what? Okay. It was in America. Because I was this is West Virginia. We told you not to go there.
The West Virginians are going to come after us in droves. All eight of them that can. Never
have
mind.
The internet.
but seriously, the shower was above the toilet. And I stood there for a solid 10 minutes trying to figure out, like, how's this work? Like, do I just kind of lean
in? Did it have the chain shower?
No, it was like two faucet things coming out of the wall.
At least they had that.
And it was like right there, and there was no lid. And I was grateful I only stayed there for 2 days because I.
Oh, that's not bad. I was in actually a high-end American chain hotel, but in a different country. And I was violently ill, as usual, because one thing about me is like, I consistently will get sick. I will work through anything. Like, I will keep going, but I'm usually sick. My stomach does not like it. Anyway, and this goes back to the bidet, but I was in the bathroom, both, you know, going out both sides kind of things. And so I used the bidet as a second toilet to throw up in. And it worked like a charm. And I just want to let you know that.
We've just talked about wiping our butts on other continents. I think there's nowhere to go but down from here. We're not going back up.
No. So this is the thing. Like, these are things that you do wish you would know when you travel, though, right? For instance, like, when I first traveled overseas, the bidet really worried me. Like, what is this for? How does it use? Also, like, why is it two separate things sometimes? Like, are you supposed to get up and walk over? Like, yes, it's kind of awkward.
That's
right?
What I was told, was that you do the thing there.
Yeah, and then you get
up.
Then
don't worry about, like, my problem is this. What about crumbs? What about, like, droppings from there to here? Like, no one's ever given me a good answer on that. I'm like,
that's because there is no good answer.
Yeah.
But anyway, so those are things. The other thing is, this is another funny story. I was in another country. Small country. And there isn't really any big hotels. They're all like little teeny tiny ones. And we stayed at, it was a good hotel. We was there for work. But we had to stay there longer than anticipated. And so people started running out of clothes. And this wasn't a country that you go run somewhere and grab a pair of underwear. So one of my colleagues, two of the colleagues didn't, I always pack, here's another little tip or trick, always pack dry tied in a baggie. Now, here's the thing. Do not put said baggie in your carry-on because they think it's drugs. Okay? We had that happen. You need to actually pack it in your actual bag. Okay, tip number two. That was a side tip. Anyway, if you pack tight and you don't know where you're going, you get stranded, you can wash your stuff in the sink. It's not always the cleanest, but it's better than nothing, right? Well, colleague A and colleague B were not smart like me, and I was not about to share my tights because our trip had already been delayed once, and I was like, it's definitely going to get delayed again, and I'm running out of undies, you know? And so they took the chance of going to the local person who cleans the thing in a big tub like this with a stick, and we're walking to dinner that night, and all of a sudden, I literally in downtown, this is not downtown, but the main street, and I'm looking, and I'm like, look at those poor people. Their underwear is literally flying over drying, and it was our colleagues. Idiots. Always pack ties.
Oh, man. I would just wash it in the sink and hang it.
Well, yeah, but you have to have soap, and they didn't have soap.
Apparently, you haven't been poor enough to just wash it with the bar soap that's there.
Yeah, I would have too, but to tell you the truth, I don't think we even got bar soap in where we were. I think it was like, I think we might have gotten like enough to wipe. It was not, this was not, yeah. We probably did have bar soap, but I think we were hoarding it. It was pretty funny though, because I was like, you dumbos, always pack the little baggie of Tide.
I live in constant fear that my luggage will be lost in
my God,
mid-travel, like on the way out instead of on the way back. If I'm on the way back, whatever.
Mine was both on the same trip.
Well, that's probably because you were making fun of people. You got to be nice to everybody at the airport, Morgan. I know. Everybody.
And I hate the airport. I hate people at the airport. I hate people talking to me at the airport. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to talk to you. I want to get on my plane. I want to watch cheap movies, and I want to go to bed.
I'll tell you my airport trick. No matter where I go, airport trick is this. When you land, always look around for like the person who's just standing against the wall whose job it is to like guard that door, or like the janitor or whatever. And I always walk up and start a conversation. And me and that person, we're friends because they know everything. They know everything in the airport. Yo, do I have enough time to leave here? Nah. No, you don't. You have to stay here because you'll get there and you won't find a cab back. Or like when I landed in country X and the military was like, we're holding all of your bags. To which my response was, you can have all of that. My stuff's right here. They started laughing. We chopped it up. I'm in the back having me a good time with the soldiers.
Yeah.
The next morning when I had to come back because we had to pick up the stuff. The soldier's like, hey, and I walk right over, me and the soldier chopping up right through the line. You always make friends with the people who are put upon. Travel tip.
That's a good travel tip. I'm bad at that. I always do things like in country X, they wanted to search my bags, which is usual. I mean, in a lot of countries, but I didn't want them to search my bags. And so.
Because you were smuggling drugs?
No, but I had like a bunch of stuff, like, because I was working and they, like, we needed to bring laptops in and stuff like that. And there was no other, of course, they gave it to me. Why? I don't know. But anyway, so I'm like carrying this huge, and the luggage is, okay, first of all, another tip and trick, always buy the ugliest luggage. Whoever pays money for luggage, I'm sorry, that's dumb. Buy the brightest one because then no one else is going to pick it up by accident. So I'm carrying this burnt orange piece of crap behind me, you know, and it's super heavy. And they're like, okay, well, put it up here. We're going to check it. And I was like, and they wanted me to lift it onto this table. And I literally was like, it's too heavy. I can't lift it. And they're like, okay, fine. You can go. Because everyone's lazy. No one wants to do it. No one wants to lift this piece of crap. And no one wants to really check your bag. So like, just make it harder.
I've never experienced that. Thankfully, I've never been the person they pull out of line for like the, what do you call it? The enhanced checking or whatever.
Every time. It happens to me every time.
No. Normally, it's because I've already made friends with whoever is
ahead. You.
Yeah. You have, let me tell you something, people. All four of our listeners, here's what you need to know going forward. If you were traveling, stop and say hello to people. They have jobs, just like on your job, and you want somebody to be nice to you, stop and speak to them, because I guarantee you it comes in handy.
The only, so I am not like that with the people inside the airport, and that's a good tip. I'm like that with the flight attendants. Every time when I see them, like I walk in, I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, good morning, how are you? I look them straight in the eye. I like thank them profusely because my mom was a flight attendant, and that job is hard. And they get perks. Like they'll give you the extra little bottles of a little, you know, alcohol on the side. They'll give you an extra pillow, which also other Trip and Tricks, do not use those pillows. Bring an extra pillowcase and put it in there because they don't wash those.
Well, that's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what COVID rip-off, now.
The biggest ripoff is those stupid travel pillows. Oh my
God. Oh yeah, they don't work. I hate them. They
just destroy your neck. And I realized, like, I saw once again, here's my every pod Morgan should get on TikTok. There was a TikTok video that told me I've been using the travel pillow wrong. You're supposed to like
put it in the front.
Stupid. They should have instructions on the travel pillows. Because why would I think that it should be used like a U? That's crazy. I don't want to put myself in the pillory. So, no, you put it in your... Nah. Next thing you know, your back's all messed up. You hate yourself. You hate life. You've gone 18 hours that way. Neck feels like a, you know, the goiter. I hate travel pillow manufacturers, you SOBs, put instructions on the pillows.
You know what you need to buy is in art. They're expensive, so you can find them on cheaper on Amazon, of course. But REI sells these pillows that are for camping, and you can roll them up, and they're super little, and then you put air in them, and they're like square, and then they have like a nice little teeny tiny line of like feathery stuff, and actually those are really good, and then you can like wrap them and just put them on.
I'm intimidated by REI. Not gonna lie. Get in there and I start seeing things that don't seem natural, like a comb that is also a knife that you could take down a bear with. I don't know what to do with that type of stuff. It's just weird.
I like REI.
Or like a Frisbee that's nothing but cloth and has like weird hard edges. Where am I going to use that? Also, Black people, we camp, but it's a very specific type of camping.
Is it glamping?
It's not glamping, but it is definitely... Oh, this is some white stuff, so we should move closer to the road. Like, we don't camp too far into the forest.
That's me.
No, we definitely want to make sure that if it goes badly, we can get back to the car in under 15 minutes.
So, yeah, I was big into camping when I was younger, and then I went to college and was like, what the hell am I doing? And then I married Alex, and now I'm back having to be back into camping. And I don't mind it. I like it. What I don't like is when he made me pack in everything, and it was the first 2 miles were straight up and half of it was stairs. And I had like 10 pounds because he overpacked my pack, and I blame him for this because he was worried we wouldn't be near a water source. So we packed in our water. And I remember being so mad halfway up the stairs with all this stuff, like a mile one out of like, And this, the first 2 miles was hills. And then after that, we still had an extra 10 miles that day. Like, this was not a short little jaunt, if you know what I mean. And I got so mad at him in true Morgan fashion. I took the water and poured it out in front of his and was like, here's your effing water.
Okay, we're going to have an entire conversation about spiting yourself out of pure anger.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't.
It's not a good. It's not good. No, not good. Everyone, don't do what my mom says, and I hope that like my future employer never hears this, but I burn bridges while still standing on them. It's true.
I have been accused in my life of participating in escalating patterns of ignorance. You step on my shoe, I step on your shoe. Now you've ratcheted it up, and I'm like, well, if you want to do this thing, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm like that too. I have a hard time. Well, but the problem is then I'm either that or my other both. I would actually say burning bridges while still standing on them is not as bad as it sounds, because it means that like I'm going to go down with the ship sometimes, and that's fine. But the other thing I do, which is both good and bad, is I'm always rooting for the underdog, which puts me in a position like, yeah, there's a lot of people where sometimes it's not. Helping them is actually not helping the company or my career. But I just love a good underdog. I really do. I really do.
I think we've discussed this. You're the friend that I won't call when I'm like, it's time to burn it down. The escalating pattern of ignorance has reached a point where we'll burn it down because you're coming with matches. And I need you to calm me down.
Yeah,
no, if
you
need
me, I won't calm you down. I'll be like, let's do it tomorrow. Okay. There's right. like this meme that's been on like on Instagram, and multiple friends have sent it to me, and that's what's worrisome is that means it's true. And it was like, Patty, what are you doing tomorrow? And then Patty goes, oh, I'm busy. I'm sorry, sweetheart. And she's like, what's going on? The other person goes, oh, I was gonna go over to Dan's house, my ex-husband Dan's house, and go and burn his house down because I found the woman that he's sleeping with. And Patty's like, hell yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
No, that's 100% who you are. But I love it. Like, everyone needs a friend where it's like, I'm gonna shoot that school up. Well, no, not shoot the school up. That's a bad example. Yeah.
No,
don't shoot schools up.
No, the good example. Yeah, that was a bad example. I wouldn't do that. That's bad. But I would do something like if you're my, I have a very small group of friends like who are really close with, and like, yeah, I'm down. Like, something's wrong, I'll take care of it. I'll come out there. I'll do whatever it takes. But I expect the same from you. And if you don't pull through, then you're out.
Oh, and I'll leave you with this. We used to have a rule when we would go to the club, like, no matter what, you're coming home with us. Who didn't go to the clubs? Morgan, you were in clubs at some point in your life.
Of course, I used to go to Vegas.
You were probably
every
like
year.
A woo girl.
Woo!
Yeah. Like, I'm shocked by that. But there was a rule. You came with us, you come home with us. Everything in between, we'll sort out afterward. So if you get in the club and you start a fight with somebody, if it's just you, that's your problem. But the moment somebody else gets involved and it's now 2-on-1, now we got to fight with you. And like, now we've got to all be like risking our lives because you're coming home with us. But we reserve the right to tell you how stupid and wrong you were after.
Oh, yeah. And not take them back again.
Yeah, no.
We had a couple of friends where we were like, sorry, like, you're not going back to that place again.
Right. And I reserve the right to not go places with you again.
Yes,
but you came right. with me, you're going home with me.
Okay. You're part of the tribe.
Yeah, probably led us to some situations we shouldn't have been in, but so be it.
Welcome to my life. So here's the thing. We are lining up some really good guests.
Absolutely. Dr. Bernadette will be the next person, the next voice
that
you hear. We are going to do something soon, hopefully within the next week, with Dr. Bernadette. We've got our hair styling, clothing in the workplace.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Because
No, I mean, Lord knows.
We're going to talk about that.
We got so many that it's hard to keep up with them. We're doing the neurodiversity. So if you've got ADD or ADHD or anywhere on the spectrum, we're going to talk about that. And
we are.
Morgan and I are not experts on anything, but we will give you all of our bad opinions and be corrected by experts.
Armchair experts.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say some wild stuff just to get the conversation going.
Duh. That's like how conversations go.
We're shock jocks. We're not shock jocks.
No, I'm so boring.
we've got some stuff coming up, and I'm really excited.
Me too.
We're going to be interviewing Chico Benjamin again. He was on the show, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Like, that's
a long time.
He's never met Morgan, so. Here we go.
You love me.
You should ask him about Michael Jackson. He actually met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he have a sparkly glove on?
It was the video for They Don't Really Care About Us, but the prison version of it, not the, like, let me find some random, like, Caribbean children and have them dance around me.
I do think that he had a glove on that one.
I mean, it's very real. He might have. I mean, we'll talk about how Michael Jackson is the greatest singer of ever, but Prince might have been a better artist.
Those are both not real comments that come out of my mouth.
Those are real comments from this guy right here. Okay. I'm saying it. Sam joined us last pod too. So when the universes collide and Sam and Morgan meet, we've created the new MCU. I don't know. The multiverse is going to come together or fall apart, one or the other. But it will be a glorious disaster either way. Sam still has to judge you on your musical taste.
My musical taste is absolutely fantastic. And you just got a little bit of a little blink of it about me knowing about John Cougar Mellencamp. So let's just all remember that.
So, and this is something Morgan hasn't done yet and doesn't know, but she'll be having a playlist on the Spotify Brownstone.
Oh, that's right. This is going to be exciting, everyone. So listen up. So it's going to be Mixed Girl Mix.
That's the title of it? I love it. So. Let's do it. Mixed so that'll be coming up in the next week or so.
Yep.
So you got to keep checking back with us. Our last video did 5,000 views, which is a big jump from 12.
So it's because of me.
It is because of you. That and the 8 people that listen to this show are watching it over and over and over again from different IP addresses. And we appreciate you.
Yeah. We appreciate unique users. Yeah. Unique visitors, users.
We'll get sponsored by a VPN and we can run that number up to 10,000 views.
Or we could get sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A or Tushy.
Tushy. They do podcasts. Actually, that's a really good one. Anyway. Okay.
I will not be using your product myself, but good on you.
I will.
I'm not squirting my butt.
Every day.
Let's leave it with that.
I already do. Okay, everyone.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.